nothing God is higher. Only this I see.
Would you give him some praise in the house this morning? If you would, take a seat and welcome to Hope Community Church. There. In Jesus' name, we're starting a new series, and so we're excited that you're here this morning. If you have your Bible, if you will turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18 through 19. And so we're going to start there. We're out of Hebrews, so if we're back to our regular reading schedule, so in your bulletin this morning, there will be a reading schedule, so make sure that you have that and plug back into the Word of God. Thank you for those who showed up the 24-hour prayer. It would end up being like 12 hours of prayer. Thank you for those who prayed through the night with us. Even though the storm was approaching, we know that God is good. And so thank you for showing up. We're going to continue with prayer to the end of the year. And so we encourage you to do that as well. Also, go out and vote this Tuesday. You haven't heard much from us on that. And so that's all I'm going to say in Jesus' name. But I want to remind you, we have a lot of hum and foolishness on this mic. So if you could take that off a little bit. Thank you. And so you still hear it? Yes. And so anyway, just encourage you that we belong to the kingdom and that no matter what happens this Tuesday, that we are kingdom-minded and that either way, Romans 13 still applies for those of you that go one way, that Romans 13 is always the same. And so we're always to pray for our leadership and to encourage our people in the way of the Lord. And so this is, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do, but it's a lot. So we're going to pull that back out. And so if we could just maybe pull it down and I can just shout a little bit louder, it'll be fine. So there's a lot of hum. Yeah, I'm getting it. Yes. Yeah. So we want to encourage you that is true, that it's for the kingdom. And we want to encourage you in Jesus' name. So maybe I should take another mic. Do you want me to grab another mic? Yes. No, we're good. Okay. So anyway, we don't encourage you in that. And so just encourage you that the kingdom matters and that we are, no matter what happens, that Jesus is still on the throne. And we are excited for that. And so we do think that there'll be some things that happen within our country. So the only weapon that we have that I think we can is pray. So continue to pray. As a church, we need to pray more. One of the people I follow on Twitter, she said, our prayerlessness is showing within our churches. And our churches have been depleted of prayer. And this is not the sermon, so I'll just go that way. But it is so important that we pray, that we fast, not just for a moment that we pray, but that we spend a lot of time in the presence of the Lord. So we want to encourage you, whether you come in tomorrow, we open our sanctuary every Monday from 9 until 4. It's open just for prayer. We encourage you to fast with us. Every Monday, Ted and I and the staff here are fasting, giving up food, saying, God, what is it that you want to do? God, what is it that you want to speak? And so we need to pray even more as the day approaches. And so we're going to start with generous but not foolish. Are you there? Look in your Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18 and 19. It says, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous. Everybody say generous. They're to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life, which is truly life. And so today we are going to be looking at that and looking at what it means to be generous. Everybody say generous. Now, to be generous is to be like Christ. I don't know if you've ever been around someone that is generous. It is incredibly fun to be around someone who's generous. I love going out to eat with generous people. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're at the place, and they say, get whatever you want. Whenever we were engaged, my husband, was trying to impress me, so he had a lot of money, which I'm not impressed by money, so it's very funny, and he said, get whatever you want. We would go to the store, get whatever you want, and I'm thinking in the back of my mind, but if I marry this dude, we're not going to have any money, so therefore I can't get whatever I want. But in the moment, it's fun, right? To be around generous people, those people that are over the top generous. And today, we want to take through our sermon of generous, kind, and grateful. We're going to plug in on that word generous. What does it mean to be generous? So we have a definition. It says liberal in giving. Open-handed. Sometimes our hands are closed, right, to us. And we keep those things that we think are ours, and we keep them to ourselves. ourselves. Now, today, the title of the sermon is Generous But Not Foolish. Generous But Not Foolish. And you should take some notes because I'm going to hit on some things that I think will help you to be generous, yes. And I struggle with generosity. And my husband, on the other end, is overwhelmingly generous. But sometimes we have to come into the middle of this and look at all of Scripture to see what is it that God is saying. So liberal in giving, you're open-handed, you're marked by abundance, you're characterized by a noble or kindly spirit. You have a kindly and generous heart. I love that Jesus was generous to us, right? That he gave us what we did not deserve. And so today, as we're looking into the Scriptures, that we serve a generous God, that we are to be a blessing. There are things that you need that people can be generous. You can be generous in kindness. You ever been around someone who's just kind? They're generously kind. They're always telling you something nice. Your clothes look good. Your hair looks good today. You did that really well. I love people that are generous in kindness. You can be generous in love, right? You can just love people well. And no matter what is happening, you can say, I choose to be generous in the way that I love you. You can be generous in forgiveness. It's good to be generous in forgiveness, that you would begin to forgive people even though they don't deserve it. Now, part of generosity, or part of being open-handed, or part of being liberal and giving, is first of all, you have to have something. Does that make sense? So whenever you are coming into the throne room of God and you've given your life to Christ, God fills you up, right? With his Spirit, with his power. And so I would love to have this overflowing, but I would make a mess. And so today, we're looking at this as the word generosity. And there is nothing like it, that God would pour you with kindness, that he would pour you with generous love, generous forgiveness. And what happens is that as we are connected to God, as we are in his presence, as we are spending time with the King, the idea is that we would pour our generosity, what God has given, but that we would pour that into other people's lives. And I love that we would have so much, that we would have so much of kindness and goodness and time, and even in our finances, that we would be able to overflow into the lives of other people, so much so that it just pours over. And I'm just going to try to make that pour over and over. And if you can't see it, it's just pouring right into that LSU purple pan right there, which they did lose. Wish they would have been generous with us. Give us a couple more points. And so anyway, so we look at this generosity, and it overflows out of our lives, and it flows into the lives of people, believers. So we can flow into believers' lives. If you see someone within the body that has a need, then to help supply that need. The Bible is always take care of your brothers and sisters in Christ, to take care of those needs that you see around you, to be generous. And we're to overflow because we have been given. And so whenever we're generous with everything that God has given, we overflow. We also overflow to those who don't know him. We can give to those who don't know that Jesus is King. Why? It is an example of who Jesus is. So when we give and we say, here is something for you, and they look at that, they're saying something is different about you. Something is different because most people hold on to all their things, and yet you are busy giving your time and giving your kindness and giving your forgiveness. And so it is an example of who Jesus is in our lives. And we're to overflow with generosity. Everybody say generous. Now, we can be generous in wisdom. That'd be good. We would be generous in kindness, to show the kindness. We would be generous in love. And you know that God has called us to be generous, overflowing, giving liberally. But you can't give what you don't have. Now, this is where God has been sort of teaching me in my own personal life. If I have nothing left to give, I can no longer give. I can give kindness, but if I'm not connected to Christ, I have no more kindness to give. If I'm no longer connected to Christ and he is overflowing into my life, I no longer have the forgiveness of God in my life. Instead, usually I hold on to bitterness and resentments. So God is saying, stay connected to me so that you can stay full, so that you can continuously give. But if you are running on empty, you have nothing left to be generous about. And so today, we want to talk about being generous but not being foolish. Everybody say, I don't want to be foolish. Now, there's two ways. Now, in generosity, if you think of kindness or if you think of forgiveness, there you can always be kind. You can always forgive. You can always love. You can always be generous in grace. You can be generous in mercy because God has been merciful to you to say, yes, you don't deserve it, but again, I extend mercy. I extend grace because God has given that to us. But two things I want to talk on this morning is time and money. And this is where you are going to have to sort of say, okay, let me hear you out. Because I want to talk about two things that we don't have always an overflow of. And there are so many different kinds of people in the room this morning. There are people that have more, and there are people that have less of time and money. So it's an interesting thing to preach here because it's such a difference in the people that are gathered together, which I think is so amazing and so godly and so biblical, but at the same time, to hear where am I at in the spectrum and what am I doing that's generous, but what am I doing sometimes that is foolish? Because sometimes we can be a little bit foolish in our generosity. And so, and the Bible is full of both generosity and wisdom. And so we want to be wise. And so people, we're going to talk about two things, time. So we're going to talk about that one first, time. We have a limited amount of time, amen? So we have been given a limited amount of time to advance the kingdom. We have been given a limited amount of time for our family, for our job, and those kind of things. So today, we want to say be generous with your time. Like, we fully believe in being generous to extend your time. Your time is not your own. In fact, we would say be generous in your time for everyone and especially for God first. And so we want to run the race, though. We don't want to burn out. Does that make sense? So at the same time that you're generous with your time, you don't want to burn out in the race that God's given you because you're using all of your time and you're not being a wise steward of the time. Now, I'm not talking about today binge watching on Netflix, okay? Because that is a foolish waste of your time. And if all you're doing is at home, you're watching series after series, or if you're watching things and you spend more time on sports, or you spend more time on Netflix, or you spend more time on social media, obviously those things are not kingdom-minded. And so you need to give up some of those things. And I'm not saying it's all wrong. I'm just saying you know in your heart right now if you are doing that too much, okay? And you need to let go of that thing because you are being foolish with the time God's given you. I'm not talking about that today, though. I am talking about guarding your time with other people. And so this is going to be interesting, and I want you to hear me out, because if you were running around today, and both ends are burning, I don't know if you do this in your life, and you're exhausted, and you're overwhelmed, then you may be being foolish with your time, and you might be giving to anyone or anything that asks. And so for me, and the concern is eventually you will burn out. And we don't want believers in Christ to burn out, that in 5 years they quit running the race, or in 10 years they quit running the race. For me, right before quarantine, I was doing a whole lot. I had added a lot of stuff to my plate. I added a lot of stuff to my life. And whenever March 15th happened and they said, hey, you can't go to church, you can't go to school, and so all my kids are home, I'm sitting there and I am exhausted. We had an event the next week that got canceled. I'm just going to be honest, I was so excited that it was canceled. I was like jumping through the roof. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is the best time ever. I don't have to be at this thing, be in charge of this thing. And I was running next to nothing in my life, and I was going 100 miles an hour 7 days a week. I don't even know if I would have made it into my 50s well. I don't even know if I'd have ran the race well. And so for me, I'm looking at my life in quarantine. I'm sitting there and I'm saying, God, some things are good, but they're not God. And there's a difference. There is a difference. There are things that can be, my husband says this. He says, Tara, it's a good cause. It might not just be your cause. And there's a difference, because you can be very passionate about some things. There can be some things that are very good, like, you know, there's a neighborhood trash pickup, and you're like, man, that's really cool. I want to go pick up all the trash in my neighborhood, hallelujah. And then a day later, there's another cause and another cause, and all of a sudden, you don't realize it, but you are doing so many things that you can't even think or breathe, and you have, like, these problems, physical problems that will come on top of you, like stress and anxiety. Why? Because you have taken up things that are not yours to take up. That is for someone else to do. And I'm talking and preaching to myself right now. There are things that you don't have to pick up. There are things that you don't have to take a hold of. And I want to say this. You don't need to save the world. Jesus does. He does. And so sometimes I would try to tell everyone about Jesus and about, you know, hardly anybody listen. And I think it's important, of course, to say about the kingdom, but it's not me that has to save the world. Jesus is the savior of the world. You don't need to pick up every cause, because every cause is not your cause. You don't need to be everything to everyone, because Jesus is. So if someone has, if you're running out of time, or if you're exhausted, or if you can't breathe and you're full of anxiety, Jesus is the perfect example in the be generous with your time. Jesus is generous. He gives above and beyond. But if you ever notice when you read the totality of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, what did Jesus do? He was cautious with his time. There were times when he went away to be with his father. He knew, if I am running on empty, I have no more generosity to give because I am on empty. So he said, you guys go ahead. Let me spend some time with my father. Let me get some time in communion with God. But he also knew that sometimes he just didn't do what everybody asked him to do. Remember, Lazarus died. It took him a couple of days to get to the tomb of Lazarus. Why? Jesus was budgeting his time. He was saying, okay, there are things that God has sent me to do. I'm going to be clear and follow those things, but I don't have to do everything. And this is Jesus that we're talking about. So I encourage you, how do you be healthy and generous, but wise in your time, is to budget your time. Now, this sounds really strange, and for some of us, it's different, because we don't do enough, and some of us, we do too much, and usually the ones that do too much are exhausted, and everybody's else like, what's the problem? I don't understand. And so we're talking to two different kinds of people this morning, and I know these sounds weird, but at the beginning of the year, I budgeted my time. I took a sheet, and I put 15 minutes every day, and I just wrote down what I did. How much was I spending with God? How much was with my family? How much was these things? And I noticed at the end of the week, there were some things that I did not have to do. Or there were some things that somebody else could do. I didn't have to be in charge of that. I didn't have to be doing that. And so I also noticed that there were things that I were doing that had no eternal value. So there was a Netflix subscription in our household that I no longer pay for because it had no eternal value and I wasn't budgeting my time correctly. And so sometimes I was exhausted because I stayed up the evening before watching some new social drama that was on the Netflix rather than looking at my life and saying, okay, God, I am not spending enough time with you. And so today, be generous with your time, but not foolish. So number one, if you're writing notes, number one, you need to spend time with the Lord. You need to spend time with the Lord. If nothing else happens in your life, if you are on empty, it's because you haven't spent time with God. So if we're going to budget our time, and I'm not talking about coming to church, we'll talk about that later. But right now, I am talking about devoted time between you and God. That you would wake up in the morning, if that's you and you're an early morning riser, spend time with the Lord. Or before you go to bed, before you look at the next news clip, before you look at Tuesday night election polls, that you would spend time with the Lord. And so you are connected to the King, that you are getting the overflow into your life. So you have to budget this, because a lot of times if you don't budget it, you won't do it. So I love budgets. I'm a budget nerd. And so I am. I'm time and money. And so you got to budget and say, okay, I like this saying, if you are too busy for God, you are too busy. If you are too busy for God, you are too busy, and things need to come out of your life. And you need to look at your life and say, okay, what is it that needs to come out of my life? For example, my son made the Central Lafourche soccer team. I'm excited for him. The first practice was today, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. I wasn't nearly as excited because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so we just said, you know what? You can go to any other practice. We'll do it at any other time. But for Sunday mornings, it is essential that my family is in the house of the Lord. And so we budget that in. So we told the coach respectfully, he'll do everything else. He will be your best worker, your hardest worker. He will play as hard as he can. But on Sunday mornings, I am sorry, we cannot make the practice because our house, our family is in the house of the Lord. We're just budgeting that in to our family time. Number two, the thing that you need to budget is work or school. So you need to have somewhere. You can't, I would love this, if you could just spend all your time in the presence of the Lord. That'd be great. I would love that. It would be fun and exciting. I had a friend when I was younger. She's like, I just spend my time in the presence of the Lord. I was like, I have a job. Like, I have to go to work. I had to work. It is so healthy. The Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 31, a horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory is the Lord. Well, you know what it means? It means you better prepare yourself. You better get to work. Go find a job. If you don't have a job, come here and work at the church. We'll give you something to do. I'm not saying you need to make money. I'm not saying that you need to be a second person or a two family. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying that you need to find something to do with your hands, because the idle hands is the devil's playground. So if you start thinking about things and doing other things, you can't just spend all your time in the Word. You're not in heaven yet. I mean, when you're in heaven, do what you want. Amen. Hallelujah. But right now, you have business to do. And a lot of times, that's just mundane work. It's not fun work. Whether you're mothering, whether you're at a job, whether you're at school, young people, you better do that well. You show up for school and you get at it. You do well. You're the best one in the class. You have your head up. You have your hand up. You're saying, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. How can I be a why? Because we're kingdom-minded and we're being generous with our time and we're working hard. We're budgeting in. And I'm going to say to you, if you're not working at something, find something to do. Find something. Budget it in. Why? Because God uses those things for the kingdom of God. In no particular order, number three is your family. And I maybe should have put that one right before number two. I think I meant to do that. But budget time for your family. I'm not sure if you have a family that you are required by God to be generous with your time for your family. As I was sitting in the first parts of quarantine, I realized I had neglected my family for all the good causes that I had picked up. I didn't know things were going on in their life. They began telling me stories about this and that, and girlfriends and boyfriends and people that like them, and all these amazing things. I had no idea, because whenever I would come home, I would have a computer a lot of times at the table because I had this to do and that to do, and it all stopped. And I said, you know what? We're going to spend time with the family, growing the family, encouraging the family. So if you are a mom or a dad in the room, the family time is some of the most vital time. So you budget that. You're generous with that. Hey, let's go do something together as a family. I'm sorry you can't go to your friend's house today. It's family time. It's time for us to be together and to see what's going on in your life. If you're a grandmother or a grandfather, find a family. If you're a single, it's a little bit different. So if you're single, you might have less family time. That's okay. Find a family. Invest into people. Find young people that you can invest into. When I was single, I remember I would go to everybody's football game. Hey, you come to my football game? Sure. I'm investing into people. I didn't have a family that required my attention. And now that I do, I have to be honest and say, it's time that I budget that in. And then number four, budgeting and being generous with church and ministry. Now, this is important that you, of course, put God first and your family second. And then you might have work and all those things, but also that the church and the ministry of the church, that you would be generous in that. There are times where sometimes you can't show up because you're at work or you're at family events or you're spending time with the Lord. But other times we're doing other things that are not as vital, maybe hanging out here or doing that there. And so today we want to encourage you to really budget budget in time. Sunday mornings, I'm committed to gathering. Wednesday nights, I'm committed to community. Hope Serves or Hope to the Streets, I'm committed to telling other people. Those are things that are commitments. We're making sure that we're generous with our time and that we are encouraging the work of the Lord. So be generous with your time, but not foolish. Don't spend it on every single thing that comes into time. And then number two, and this one's going to be a great one, to be generous with your money, but not foolish with your money. Now, this hits harder because we have all kinds of people in the room, and I'm a budgeter, and I am generous. I have the most generous family. I grew up in a generous family. I love my family. At Christmas time, they're so generous. At our birthday, they just were so generous. I'm so thankful to have grown up in a family and of people that are generous. Now, I want to say this, and we'll look at the Bible. They're all people going to say all kinds of things, but it's to be generous with your money, but not foolish. Luke 6, verse 38. We have it on the screen. It says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, you will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. So I love that this verse says, be generous, and God's going to be generous to you. It is so essential to be generous with your money. Psalm 112 in verse 5, it says, it is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 11, it says, you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way. Everybody say generous. Which though you will produce, through this you will produce thanksgiving to God. So how do you be healthy in your money? How do you be generous but not foolish? And so you can't be generous with something. I want to say this. You can't be generous with something that you don't have. I'm going to say that again. So you can't be generous with money if you don't have money. I'm just going to say that out there. There are times in my life where I've had money. There are times in my life where we haven't had money. There were times where we had no kids, and Ted was working a great job, and God called us, spoke to us, be generous, above our tithe and offering. We always give 10% to the Lord. Comes right here, and we give 10% to the Lord. God, we're just praying and believing. 10% of our budget, right when we get our checks, it goes right back to God, 10%. I mean, that's biblical, godly principles. You should be doing that in your life, but there are times when we were well and doing well, and we had no kiddos, and so, and he wasn't working here, he was working at another place, and we had. So God just said, be generous and give generously. So we would give generously. There were things that were above and beyond our tithes, and we were able to give generously. There are times in my life, however, when my husband had no job and the oil field crashed, and we're looking at adopting 4 kids, and we didn't have to be able to give. And so we always gave 10% to the Lord. That was not going to change. There was no point in our time where I don't have that much to give to the Lord. But what happened is as we tithe, the little that we gave and the little that we were getting in, we were not able to be as generous with the rest because they were paying bills. I mean, we had legitimate bills. We were trying to get 4 kids here. We were paying electricity. We were paying rent. We were paying those things. And sometimes, now I'm going to tell you this, people love being around a foolish, generous person. Some of y'all are foolish, generous. I won't pick on anybody here, but my brother-in-law, before he came to the Lord, he had money. He's very well off. His family's well off. And so he wasn't a Christian. He'd go to the bar. And everybody go to the bar that night. He went because he would buy rounds for everybody. You know what I'm talking about? Full, like $500 to $1,000 every weekend, just spending it. Everybody loved him. He gave his life to Jesus, quit buying the alcohol. Nobody loves him. And so now nobody's in his, you know, like he don't got a friend. And so some people love when you're generously foolish because they love to be around the thing that you're getting them or giving them. But sometimes you got to be very careful because for us here, we'll have 3 to 4 phone calls every day asking for us to pay their light bills. And I'm not against paying a light bill, but we always say, I'm sorry, we don't do that. We'd love to pray for you. Can we help you with food? No. Can we help you with, can we help you give, you know, like some clothing from the back? We can be generous. We have lots of clothes. We'll be generous with that. And you can see there's one time where Ted was talking. talking to a man, and he wanted $1,500 to pay something. And then whenever Ted said, man, I can't do that. Like, I don't even do that for myself. And the man just cursed him out, like cursed him out lower than a dog, walked out of the church cursed, because we weren't, in his mind, generous enough. And so there has to be some budgeting within your generosity. You can't be generous with something that you don't have. If you are going into debt to be generous, you are being foolish. If you're saying, I can't even pay my car note, I can't pay my light bills, but let me help you with this. And a lot of times, I'll just give some examples. You're going to be generous and help pay somebody's electric bill just so that they can go to the club again next week. And that's happened over and over again. I'm just preaching what I know. And so then people will be like, well, I want you to help me with my bill, but what did you do last weekend? Well, we went to the club and I used all my money at the club. You know, that's not generous. That is foolish. And you are helping them inside of their sin. And a lot of us love that feeling of generosity, but all you're doing is enabling them to be into that sin. And you know what? In the Bible, whenever they had the story of the prodigal son, the daddy didn't go into the pig pen. He didn't go and rescue him from the pig pen. He stand on the top of the hill and said, I'm waiting for you to come home. Yes, but I'm not going. Let the pig pen stink. Let those problems stink a little bit, because whenever those problems stink, then you come back to the king. And if I'm always lifting you out because I'm generous, but I'm also foolish and I'm paying for your foolishness, then the Bible is clear. That's not really generosity. That is simply foolishness. Another example is you're generous and you help with a need, because they all went out the week before and ate out to eat. They went out to eat and they had this big fancy meal for $200-$300, and now they don't have enough, and you're looking at it and you're like, you know, you really need to not help and say, you know what, but I can help you budget. I can help you get a plan so that when your check comes in or your money comes in, I can help you to get a plan. We have to be generous, but you can't be generous and if you don't have it, and also you can't enable other people inside of your generosity. You have to be careful that you're not enabling to sin. Now, I have a great example in my husband, Ted. He allowed me to tell this story because my husband is one of the most generous people that I know, bar none. Like, even whenever we were dating, he would tell me of all these stories. Like, one time he picked up a man and brought him to Orange, Texas, just because he needed to be with his family. I fell in love with him because of the generosity that he had. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Again, he was single, so he didn't have to budget in time for his family because he didn't have one. So if you want to go and bring a man to Orange, Texas, hallelujah, because you're single. Do what Jesus called you to do. Now you have a family. And so, you know, just being not being foolish and looking at that. So we were married. We were married maybe a year. We were living at the old building, and this man comes up to Ted, and he says, I just need a bus ticket to go with my family. So by this time, Ted is a little bit more sensible, and he's like, I got you. He said, I know you can, you know, if I just give you the money, it's no good. We've learned that. And so we're not going to be foolish. And so he said, I can go give you a ticket. The only problem was, is it was on Valentine's Day. So on Valentine's Day, right in early in our marriage, he says, you know what, Tyree? He said, I told this man that I'm going to go to New Orleans with him and get a bus ticket. And my heart dropped. I'm mad. I'm angry. I don't want to talk to Ted for like 3 years. And so I'm like, I don't even want to. And he's like, come on, we can make a date out of it. And I'm like, no, me, you, and another man is not a date. And so, like, you know, it's not the way it works. We're to be together. And so finally, I'm like, if I don't go with him, I'm going to be on Valentine's Day with my new husband, and I'm going to be by myself. So I went with him, and this man, I'm telling you, no lie, we're in my old car, and he just begins to smoke in my car, which I'm not cool with. And so he starts smoking. I'm like, Ted, tell him to pull it out, because, like, it's mine. I don't like smoking. And so Ted's like, can you put it out? Well, he said, hey, man, can I use your phone? So he takes Ted's cell phone. He calls up his family that is in Lake Charles or somewhere. And his family hangs up on him. That's always a bad sign when you're going to visit your family, but your family hangs up on you. So this time I'm boiling. Like, I'm steaming. I'm mad. You know, like, Ted's so generous, and I am, like, angry. And so we get to the bus station in New Orleans, and Ted hops out the car, right? Because we're going to do it right. And so Ted literally goes and buys the ticket for the man. He goes up to the store and he buys the bus station, gets the ticket. We see the actual ticket. And so my heart's a little bit better, right? God, I mean, we did the right thing. We go to a nice restaurant. And, I'm like, okay, we're cool. The next morning, I kid you not, that man is back on our street, same place, riding his bike. Hey, what's up, man? And took the ticket and sold it to somebody else for drugs. And now he's back on the street with us. And I'm looking at this and I'm just thinking, man, we were still foolish. Like, we thought we had it all together. We had beat the system. And no, he got it all played out. He had beat the system. He sold the ticket to somebody else. And here we are, a generous but foolish people. And God has used those examples in our lives. And we still want to be generous. I want you to be generous. When you leave this sermon, I want you to say, you know, how can I be generous? Sometimes if you don't have, you can bake. You can do something else. Does that make sense? But to be generous but not foolish with your time. And at the same time, to be generous with your money but not foolish with your money. At this time in our lives, we know, hey, I've got kids. I got to bring them all through high school. I got to get them all driving. I got to get them into college. So there's a whole lot less that we have in our lives right now. And I know, because I'm looking to the future, how generous I can be right now. So right now in this time in my life, I can give and I can be generous, but there are things because I have a family. Now, as I march into the older years of my life, my prayer is that I can be more generous and I can be more giving, and we have saved up for our future in such a way that we can help more people and be kind and look at the needs of not only this particular area but the entire world, because my heart beats for that. But at this point in our time, we don't have much to give because we have a family that we're trying to get into the kingdom and to get into their education. And so we want to encourage you today, generous but not foolish. If your bills are not paid, you can't be as generous. Make sure that your future is secure. You need to see that God has a plan and that you can be generous, but you don't have to be foolish. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Look at it, look at your life this week, make an honest assessment. Don't just walk out this sermon and say, oh, that's cool, but then you go back and do the same thing. Look at your life honestly, because we're all from different aspects. We're coming at life differently. Are there some things in your time that you have given to other people, but really you should be giving it to your family? Or if you're single, have you been giving your time wholeheartedly to the Lord? Like, if you're young or if you're single, man, give every part of you to the Lord. They be in every single thing, because you can be. Go walk the streets. Go to Hope to the streets. Give generously. But look at your life, because whatever place you're in, don't be guilted into being generous. That's not generous. God says he loves a cheerful giver. And so today, look at your life both financially and with your time. And depending on where and what place you are in your life, really assess it and say, God, am I budgeting my time? Am I budgeting my money? God, am I committed to your presence? Am I committed to my family, to my work, God, to those things? And I know it's been so a varied sermon because of all the different kind of people we have in the place this morning, but look at it and say, God, I want to be generous, but I don't want to be foolish. God, I want to be generous with my time, but I don't want to be foolish. And God, I want to be generous with my money, and I don't want to be foolish. And then, of course, be generous in kindness and forgiveness and love and grace and mercy. Be generous, because God is generous with you. God, I pray that you would just help us, Lord. God, as we walk out of this door, God, to really assess our lives, to look at it. God, I know for me, God, just this year, just looking at my life and saying, is this where I want it to be in 10 years? I didn't want to be burned out. I didn't want to be doing all this stuff, God, that was good causes, but it wasn't the God cause for my life. God, help us to look at that. What are the God causes for our life, for our individual race? God, what are we to pick up? What are we to let go of? God, what are we to give to, and what are we to say, you know what, I'm preparing for my kids or my future or those kind of things. God, I pray that you'll just give us really a lot of wisdom. The Bible says in James chapter 1, if we ask for wisdom, you will give it. So help us to be wise. Help us to be faithful stewards of our time, faithful stewards of our money. And God, help us to be generous. God, as a church, God, help us to be generous, but also, God, to be not foolish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We love you. There's no good prayer time, so just go out and be generous in Jesus' name, and we'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30. We love you and can't wait to see you soon.